Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Had turned that off. That's my song. I don't know why it just resonates in my spirit. I could just listen to it. And it go on and on and on and on. I have to remind myself, you've got to get on the air. You can't just listen to that music, you know. Had that music for a long time, from the beginning of time. The Holy Spirit gave me that music. It was just for me and my spirit, and I hope that you enjoy it. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am Bessie here at the Round Tables with Mothers and Daughters Around the World. Yes, I said it, around the world. That's what we do. And I am so excited today. It's just for being, just being, you know. Just thank God. He didn't even have to give me this day. But he just decided, you know what, I'm going to wake her up. I'm going to let her experience today. Father God, I thank you. You know, we can't take this thing lightly, you know. We get up and we move our way and not even thinking. God didn't have to give you today. It was his grace and mercy that he decided to let you experience this day. So when he give it to you, do something with it. Do something. Start off praising him. I don't dare get up and go off with my day and just act as if I own myself and I can do what I want to do. I get up with Thanksgiving, and that's every day. And usually it's somewhere 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Then again, about 6 or 7, you know, and I spend those 2 or 3 hours with the Lord before I get up to start into this day. Because today, it's a mystery. You don't know from 1 second to the other what's going to happen. Think about that. You don't know what's going to happen. So that means you have to walk by faith. You have to trust God that he will remove things out of your way, that he will protect you, that he will align the to direct you in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot going on to get you through today. So think about it. You don't even have a clue what's going on in the spiritual realm that's helping you get from your bedroom to the bathroom. You're thinking, well, I'm in the house. Ain't nothing about them in the house. Hey, plane can drop on you. The ceiling can fall in. You can trip something. Break your neck. I know I'm not trying to be dramatic, but there's so many things can happen. You've seen some things. That is the weirdest thing. How in the world could that happen? But you know, things don't happen to you because you're protected. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, got the Holy Spirit with you, angels guiding you, you avoid a lot of things that could have happened to you right there in your own home. I'm going to bring in my co-host this morning with me. I have Deborah Teller, the co-host Cynthia Oliver. She is traveling today. I hope she and her husband is going to have a good time and enjoy themselves on their little day off, weekend off. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, audience. Good morning, Cynthia.
How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm good. Yes. How was your week?
How was my week? The usual, you know, busy but productive, you know, helping some individuals in the program move up. We got a program where they can move up now and find their own apartment in the community. And so Section 8, so been busy doing that. But life is good because who would have thought that I'll be the one, you know, interviewing and doing the emails and the documents and all of that. Who would have thought that 10 years ago, you know, being a recipient of the program, you know, who would have thought that? God is good. He's faithful.
Yeah. Because you put in to the process. You worked. You showed that I can do this. I deserve this chance. You know, God got you. But if you don't do the work, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
You think that Pauline knows what's going to hire you if you come in there talking and acting like you ain't got no sense? And then no, I can't trust her with other people. She's going to damage them. She's not healthy enough to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in the work. You cleaned yourself up. You decide I'm going to change. You decide I'm going to create a new life for myself. That's what we do. We can create. We can move out of that old life into a new life. The new birth. People think you got to die and go to heaven. The new birth, the change of your conscious mind. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not doing that no more. I'm born again. I don't do drugs. I do that. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't treat people the way I used to treat them. That's the new birth. So I you know, we've been knowing you for a long time. We all got our journey, but I commend you because you have that everybody should hear that could be a blessing for anybody that think it's impossible. You fish on the possibilities, and God will use you to do that too, not a national platform.
Amen.
So this morning, I'm going to get you to say the prayer, and then we're going to go into our topic.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for the heartbeat, the breath we breathe, and the blood that's moving in our veins. We thank you that you've given us another opportunity to draw near to you, Lord, and you will draw near to us. We thank you for having your way today. Whatever it is that we have in mind, we will surrender our will to your way, Lord. Have your way right now. Move like you can move. Move from here to there, Lord. You're everywhere. Have your way with the hearts, with the listeners, with the individuals with issues that might can relate to the topic today, and if they can't relate, they'll hold it one day and provide it or share it with somebody that can relate. We thank you for information. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your guidance, your mercy, your grace, Lord. We thank you for all those things that sometimes we might take for granted. So, Lord, we say thank you while we have breath in our body. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. Move now, Lord. Do what you do, Lord. Let your word go out. We know it will not return unto you void. It will accomplish that thing which you are sending it to accomplish. So we thank you right now for being part of that journey. And let us hear the word first, Lord, because we're not above the message, because we're the mouthpiece that you're using. Let us all hear thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it was, you got me laughing. I saw you here laughing, I know, for about 5 minutes after we got off that call. I said, that devil, it's the last minute, but she got that put money in, and that was good. We'll talk about that later. Okay, that was good. I tell you, the joy of the Lord fills our soul, you know?
Yes.
And people don't realize that, and I just realized what I just said. The joy of the Lord fill our soul. And then our topic this morning is mother and daughter finding your joy. Wow. It just hit me what I just said. And that's the topic the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Mothers and daughters finding their joy. It's nothing like laughter. Laughter is the thing, Deborah. Laughter is the thing. That's why people pay so much money to go see comedians, because they just want to get into a place where they don't have to think about anything and they can just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Last for that hour, they may walk out cussing and carrying on. You know, but while they in there, they're in the hour. That's that, they're laughing. They're laughing. They're not thinking about their troubles, problems, and situations. All right, I'll be back and pick you up in a little bit. Thank you.
Okay.
Mothers and daughters, this morning we're talking about mothers and daughters finding their joy. You know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how laughter can make you feel good. Can make you feel good. Now, when I got this topic this morning from the Holy Spirit, I didn't think about laughter. I knew what joy is, and I thought, okay, well, you know, I don't worry about it because I know the Holy Spirit is going to come from which direction he wants to come and how he wants to deliver the message, and I allow him to do that through me. So I didn't process it until I was talking about a few years ago, and I said, laughter, because she made us laugh so last night at the end of the meeting that even when I got off, I was still laughing, and I was mimicking what she had told me. And every time I mimic it, I would laugh. So, and even when I think about it now, I could laugh. You know, it was a image that was placed in my mind, and everybody's mind, I'm sure. That's what makes you laugh, because the person can project an image in your mind. And when you see it and get it, then you laugh. So that will, every time I think that, it'll make me laugh. It was just simple, but it was funny. But today we're talking about the joy of the Lord that fills your soul. You know, there's the joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And sometimes that I can attempt to name them. I don't know if I put one too many. I know love, joy, peace, happiness, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, humility. I think that's all of them. But just think about it. Today we want to talk about joy. Now, if you got joy, you got peace. If you got joy, you got love. If you got joy, you got forgiveness. You got kindness, gentleness. You got self-control. You got humility. The 9 fruits of the Spirit, they work together as one. You got love, you got all of them. You got peace, you got all of them. But today we're talking about joy. And I think what's happening in the world today, we are so busy looking at the exterior, the world, what's going on in the news, who's killing who. Who's doing whom wrong? Then you start forming your opinions, and then you start having these intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head. And then you start judging, because you're going to have an opinion. And every time you have an opinion about a situation, you will make a judgment. And you're going to believe that your judgment is right because you feel like that's the way you feel in your heart, and everybody else should feel that they are. So when they don't, you judge them. Well, I don't like the way that he his hair. Well, he's a man. Why would he have his hair braided down like that or those dreadlocks? I mean, I just don't like that. It just doesn't look good on it. Judging. What does that have to do with you? Only thing, the only person that you can kind of control is you. And the reason we get in so many problems, run into any problems, because we can't really control ourselves, not 100%, not within our own mind and body. See, it's hard because we're always challenged. That's why I say the joy of the Lord, joy of the Lord, not the joy of Bessie, the joy of the Lord. You have to get in the joy that will supersede anything. Anything from harming you, of coming where you're going, because if you're in the joy of the Lord, you're happy and you're not afraid. You're not fearful. Fear don't come. Fear cannot live where joy is. Fear can't even come close to where joy is. And that's why sometimes I just go and look for a comedian that I figure is not too out there with, a, you know, that something that's decent and clean, but something that can make me laugh, or some movie that's just funny, or you know, certain characters that, you know when they watch, you watch their movies, you're going to laugh. And I do that just to entertain myself and to make myself laugh, to bring the joy out. It's my way of coping because I live by myself. I have a lot of time working on the computer and doing what I do. So, you know, you've got to be able to balance that thing out. You can't just work 24 hours a day. I'm talking to the Lord, working and talking to the Lord and working. And then when I have my dinner, it's like, okay, find out if I can have a movie, dinner and a movie. Let me entertain myself. You know, let me find something that makes me laugh. Or talk to someone that, you know, that's going to give you some type of inspiration or something that is going to lift you up. I'm very careful with who I talk with, because if they're too far down and I'm looking for someone that's going to give me a shot of energy, then you don't want to call that person, because then you're going to go deeper. So always keep that in mind, the joy. And how you see the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is in the people. People show up. Just like last night at the end when Deborah made us all laugh. That was the joy of the Lord. We were just talking, moving along. Then at the end, he made us laugh. We started out just talking about the one thing that we prayed for, that we're grateful that God did not answer that prayer. Think about that, mothers and daughters. Have you ever had a prayer that you wanted God to answer? And now when you look back, you say, God, thank you. Well, when I got that message, my response was, which one do I choose? Because I look back over my life and seen so many things that I thought that I wanted God to do for me. This is what I want you to do for me. But see, he knew that was not going to bring me joy. He was careful to watch over me. And even though I was trying my best to convince him, I need this. If I have this, I can do that. If I have this, I can complete what you asked me to do. If I had this person, if I could meet this person, if you give me an opportunity to go here, in all kinds of nonsense prayers. Because see, now you're idolizing. You are now putting, you're idolizing someone like you think is popular and well-known, and if I can just get to their show or get what we're doing here so much, they can help us go here. And God is saying to you, really? You going to ask me to get to them thinking that they do something for you that I can't do? I didn't grant you that, because you haven't learned that lesson yet. You haven't learned that I am the provider. Don't be looking at what other people are doing. Don't idolize other people. That's their life. That's their relationship with God. You got to create your own. That's why I tell people when they say, well, you know, I could interview the so-and-so. So I'm not getting excited about that. Never really gotten excited about people because they work or make a certain amount of money. I mean, don't ever work. Yeah, you may have earned some money, but God told me a long time ago, don't worry about other people's money because you don't know how they get the money. And because you don't know how to get the money, you will be the same boat that they're in.
if you think with them. Because you don't know. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Desire, if you believe when you pray, you shall receive. It's that simple. But you can't believe when you pray, when you are thinking about man helping you to achieve. Your belief has to be in Christ. You don't have to believe in the thing. You don't even have to believe that you got enough faith to do it. And I know that sounds strange. What do you mean? He said, by your faith, yeah, but you don't have to believe that you have enough faith. And I'm going to tell you why. This is what the lesson I got this week. Because God, I gave you a measure of faith. I gave everyone a measure of faith. He didn't give me more faith than he gave Deborah, and he gave Deborah more faith than he gave me. Okay? So let's just get 100% faith. Now, all you got to do is believe that that 100% amount of faith is all you need for anything that you require. Don't worry about, do I have enough faith? You got to get it. If you needed more, he would have given it to you. But in our minds, we're thinking, we hear about the mustard seed. Well, he said the mustard seed is just, mustard seed is just one of the 100%, 1% of the 100%. If you can believe 1% of the 100%, I'm still going to do it for you. Because I know you got the faith. That's why it makes sense. Help me, Lord, with unbelief. So the other 99%, Jesus is going to fill that in for you. So if you got the faith in Jesus, where your joy is, all that you pray and believe, you will receive. You just got to say, Jesus, right now, I think I'm only about 1%. I'm 10% in this faith. I know the other 90%, God gave it to me. I have it. I just can't see it right now, but you know I have it. And I'm trusting in you for the 90% that I receive what I'm requesting. Because you already got the faith. You think God made us and skipped, forgot about something? Oh, man, I didn't get that sense of faith. Oh, man, I tell you. How am I going to get her some more faith? Because I'm short on her faith. Really? Come on. Not the perfect one. All things perfect and in order. So you're perfectly made. You have the right amount of joy in you. If you didn't have joy in you, you wouldn't be able to laugh. You wouldn't be able to smile. That you've experienced, they wouldn't come back to you. So the joy of the Lord fills your soul. But what we do, we're so busy trying to be deep. You want to get deep. You want to, well, I don't have enough money. How am I going to make this end meet? How am I going to do it? You're not used to me. Your money, your house, your car, your career, your joy, all the fruit of the Spirit, all is in your faith. Anything that you can imagine to create is in your faith. That's why he said, get to know faith. Treat faith like, let's look at faith as one of your friends, female friends. Not your typical female friend. You know, we got some. But just say, Mary, Jesus' mother, pure, perfect, because we know faith is. So now, you're going to make faith your best friend. So when you pray, you're going to say, faith, I need you to step in and do this for me. Because if you think about it, every time Jesus heals somebody, or done something for them. He said, by your faith, or your faith made you whole. It was always faith. He would say that. It's your faith. Back then, they didn't know what that meant. Your faith. It's the faith that God had already given them. See, Jesus only came to show us the joy. He only came to show us you are separated from the Father. We are all one. There's no distance between us. That's the only reason. That's why they wanted to crucify him, because he said, me and the Father and I are one. He's my Father. And I come to tell you that you are little gods. You are one with me, and we are one with the Father. Oh, no. No. The Jews was like, no. Blaspheming. We got to kill him. We get to believe in that craziness. We know that he can't be equal with God. Nobody's equal with God. And they were looking at God. God came to save us. And what? Because we were not living in the joy. If you could live in the joy, you will know that you know. That you know that you know that you know that you're in Christ. There's no other joy. You're not going to find it anywhere. You can't find it in the store. You can't order it from Amazon. Amazon just don't have it. You can't get it from Google. Google don't have it. You can't get it from YouTube, Zoom, all the popular sites. You can't get it from your friends. And even though Deborah made us laugh last night, we didn't even get that from her. The joy of the Lord came through her. You got to know where it comes from. He will use you to joy other people. He will use you to bless other people. All he's saying to you is that you and I are one. I'm fine and you're the branch. And the branch reaches out and stretches out. And I look at the branch as God's arms. And he want to be able to stretch out an area. And Betsy, I need you, because I need you to stretch out. I need to stretch out and reach all my mothers and daughters. We all are given an assignment. And with that assignment, he equipped the body with faith so that we could believe. Because I've given you everything that you need. Everything that you need is within you. I ask you to allow me to use your body. You say yes or no. Because I'm not coming into a body. I'm not coming into a body. It's lying and cheating, stealing, sleeping around, pretending to be a Christian. I'm not coming into a body that's hating on somebody and grinning in their face. I'm not coming into a body that's pretending to know me and don't know me at all. I need you to clean it up. I need you to clean it up. Because when I come, I bring all the fruits of the Spirit with me. And the good news is, mothers and daughters, you can clean it up quicker than you can clean the house. You can repent, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for all things, known and unknown. I ask you to clean me up. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. Give me a pure heart, clean hands. And I want to start all again. I want you to be able to use this body that you created for your good. And you do that, and I guarantee you, God will start giving you a sign. He'll start sending people your way. He'll start having you go and help somebody. He'll have you tell somebody something that'll make a smile on face and joy in the heart. You will have so much love around you that when you walk into a room, people want to come and say hello. People want to say, who is that? Who is that? I don't know. Somebody say, that's Dr. Fletcher. I experience that a lot. I walk in a room, nobody sees me. But people look and they watch and they wonder why. Because the joy of the Lord, that energy penetrates. When you know God, you say, God, let your glory shine through me. I say it every morning. I have it written down so I don't miss it. And when I kneel at my altar, I read what I wrote every morning. And one is, God, let your glory shine through me today. That people can feel good and that they will inquire so I can tell them about the love of Jesus. Every morning. So that way, I know during the day when someone called me, I have people call me, as a lady that called me, I hadn't seen that lady in years. She's from the prison. And she said to me, I don't know if you remember me or not. She said, I ran across you. She was on LinkedIn, I guess, in Facebook or something. And she said, and I just wanted to call you. And I didn't remember her exactly. I kind of, but couldn't put the face to the right. I remember the position she was in. But anyway, that didn't bother me. I started talking. Can I call you back? No, we're going to talk right now. I stopped what I'm doing when God sent me aside. Because nothing that I'm doing is so important. All I'm doing is on the computer putting thoughts together, writing them down. That's all I'm doing. Because remember, I work for God. So I work on the side over here. But when he called my name or send somebody to me, I got to stop what I'm doing over here. Because that's important. The human being is more important. Because you know God sent it. And the Holy Spirit put joy in their heart. The Holy Spirit will speak to them. Because remember, every month, Lord, let your glory shine through me. So if his glory is shining through me, it's not just for the people that you walk on. Glory, the shining of glory shines, transcends into the universe. I've had people call me from other countries. There's no time. There's no time and space that the glory of the Lord can imagine. And just as he used me to add joy to someone else, he always sends someone to add joy to me. See, we have to give and then we receive. You know, you think, oh, always, every time I turn around, I'm helping somebody. I've heard people say that. And nobody helps me. Like, really? Nobody helps you. It's impossible. It's impossible. God's going to have somebody help you. If it ain't nothing but on your job, or you're walking on the street and you drop a bag and somebody come along and pick it up, somebody is helping. I'm going to tell this story. This happened to me past week. I meant to tell the group last night, but we got to talking and I forgot. My grandson was in a terrible accident on Monday. If I was to show you the pictures of that car, it was just like someone had taken one of those machines that crushed cars in. When my daughter called me, he's a police officer. When she called me, I felt the joy of the Lord in my soul. And I told her, he's okay. But that's a mother. I'm a grandmother, and I, Lord knows, I like anybody that knows me know that those boys are like my boys because I've been taking around those babies and keeping them every summer up all their lives, 8 weeks out of the summer. They travel with me wherever I go. We have a different kind of bond. But I knew in my heart it was okay. So she said, well, Mama, he's at the emergency room. And I, while she was running, my car then took off, and, you know, everything was just spinning. And I said, okay, I'll be there in a second. And I meant almost a second. Because I'm only, not halfway, but 7 minutes. No, Mama, you don't need to come because they're not going to let but one person going at a time. You should go ahead. You're not going to tell me I can come, but don't come. So let me take this story on up. I don't want to drag it out. So anyway, I got there. They had gone in and seen me. When she saw me, she broke down and started crying. And of course, I hugged her, and I told her, I said, it's okay. We're at the mark. He's here in the emergency room, and he's fine. And she said, Mommy, he's got a cut on his head, and his eyes all bruised, and he had blood all over him. And I, okay. So they gave me the visitor's pass, and I went in. And I walked in. He looked, and he saw me. And it was just, I could see the shift in the spirit. Like he might have wanted to cry, but being a police officer with police around him, you know, he was holding his stuff together, but I saw it. Like, Nene. Yeah, he's an officer, and he's a grown man, but he calls me Nene. He's only 22, but he's still Nene. And I looked at him, and I said, okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I said, how's your spirit? He said, my spirit is good. I said, that's all good, man. I walked over because I didn't want to treat him less than a man. I walked over and I put my hands on him. I said, I just want to touch you. He knew what that meant because you're fine. I said, so I'm going back on the outside. You need me? Just call me. I'm going to be on the outside. Of course, you can't go in the emergency room, so we were all on the outside waiting. They did all the examinations and everything was fine. A little gash on the side of his left side of his forehead. Why am I telling you this story? He did walk out of that hospital that evening and went home, ordered his pizza and wings on the way, and went to work the next day. But if you saw the car, you would start to flinch. You knew it was God. See, that's why I say, mothers, grandmothers, you have to be a matriarch for your children. But God said, I will bless you, your children, and your children's children. And that's where I stand. That's why I don't worry about them. Because I am in order to the best of my ability. And where I fall short, I'm constantly repenting all through the day. You don't get it. You don't get it. I repent all during the day just in case if I had a thought that was wrong. But I'm going to show you how God showed up. 2 days before his accident, he was sitting in his police patrol car talking to another officer. You know how they sit and talk back and forth, waiting just. Don't have a call, just sitting talking. And this gentleman walked up to him and to his car, and I said that was unusual because he doesn't allow him to walk up on him, train not to have somebody walk up on him. So the guy came and he closed his window down and said, sir, he said, I just want to give you the Chick-fil-A certificate and I want you to have lunch on me. I said, thank you for all the work that you do, the hard work that you do. And he said, he told him, thank you. He took the certificate and put it in his car seat. Now, when he had the accident and the car rolled over and over and over and landed, he crawled out, paperwork all over the lawn, someone's yard, neighbor picking up papers from everywhere, helping them get his. And the same guy that gave him the certificate on Saturday, now this is Monday, 2 days later, 10 or 15 miles different in space. So that certificate, which flew out on grass, far enough by itself, he came and picked it up, came back to my grandson, and said, remember me? I'm the one that gave you the certificate. And he said, he told him, yes, I remember you. Then what happened? Did you see him at? I don't know. He just left. I didn't see him. But because he's a Christian, because he has a relationship with God, because he's a tither, and that little boy had Bible study by himself when he was being young, reading his Bible. And I always told him, you have a relationship with God. We praying with you. You praying for yourself. God set up an angel to keep him from going to a shootout. It was a shootout with all the cops, this guy in the middle of the street. He was headed there. And God didn't want him to go. The accident, he called out, not sore the next morning, as if he didn't see the stitches on his head right there, little small, less than an inch incision. You wouldn't believe it. So that's why I keep the joy of the Lord in my heart. Because you got to believe in God and you'll see his miracles. He will show up. He will show up. And he showed up for my grandson. And so many other times I could tell you things, but I wanted to share that because you hear about angels. And sometimes it's hard to believe. You see it, and people tell you. But my grandson knew. He said, I knew when he gave me that certificate. When he picked it off the ground out of all the papers, he wanted to know, we got you. We had you covered. Woo! To God be the glory. Deborah?
Yes, I'm here. Wow, I'm just blown away with that testimony. And I just want to say this. You know, it's important that, you know, we show ourselves friendly, you know, because God will send angels and will send people in our lives to bless us in even the minute ways like a gift certificate or for Chick-fil-A. I mean, you know, some people, you know, got such a mean spirit, they're unapproachable. And God is trying to send people in our lives to bless us and to be angels and bring us laughter and bring us, you know, good tidings, you know. And so I just say, Lord, thank you for the young man life. Thank you for the guy that came. Thank you for using your grandson to exemplify that he can be a police officer and be saved and be righteous and be the kind of guy that God want on the force. You know what I mean? Especially mm-hmm. He's trying to, you know, thank God that you train them up the way they should be, and when they get older, they won't depart. So mm-hmm. All that training went didn't go on deaf ears, you know. And mm-hmm. Thank God he will, you know, allow incidents to or accidents to avoid incidents, you know.
Yeah.
And just thank. You know, if his spirit was well, that was the right frame of mind to be in. God said, because in all things, he said, all things give thanks. Not some when it's peaches and cream when you got your way. He said, all things. And I was just sitting here saying, yes, Lord. He said his spirit was well. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, good job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know? I was already full before you said that, and so I said, let me hit that point first. And so now I'm going to back up to what we initially was talking about.
Let me say something to that, add something to that, Deborah. You know, the amazing thing is, if you are an officer, you can, and you go in with your uniform, Chick-fil-A gave you free lunch, free food. Oh, man, you know, give it to somebody else, you know what I mean, because we read it anyway. You see what I'm saying? He could have said that
right.
easily.
Right.
But he took the ticket.
He took it.
And it's amazing. And I said, and just to know, well, I don't have to have a certificate to eat there free. I was like, look at God. Look at God. Okay, I just want to throw that in for the audience.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I didn't know that. I thought they only eat at Dunkin' Donuts free. I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know if it's ever Chick-fil-A, but I know here in Winston, they Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Any officer that comes, you could eat free.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so, audience, I just wanted to share, you know, what we were talking about, you know, about the laughter. And let me say this. There's times in my life being the comedian type, there's times that in the beginning when I realized that I had that, I didn't call it a gift then because I wasn't saving. I didn't see it as a gift then. But there's times in my life when since I had the gift that God had to prune it because there were times that I was offended with jokes. There were times when I would be stepping on somebody else's toes to make somebody else laugh. And God dealt with me, you know, very early. And then as I got more into God and gave my life to God, he started showing me that it is like a medicine, but you got to know how to prescribe it. You got to know how to give it. You can't give an overdose. Give an example. One day me and my mom was having our rendezvous where we go up and shop and we eat till we, you know, whatever, get tired of eating or whatever. This particular day, she was in the passenger side. She said, I just love it when you come up because I don't have to drive. This is only time I get a break is when the girls come up and, you know, we take out. And so we were talking about something. And I had a laugh. And then she said, Deborah, you know, I never realized how funny you really miss your calling. You really just been a comedian. And she said, I never knew you was this funny. And so I had a laughing so hard that I had to stop because at any point, you probably would have started choking or a heart attack or something. And so you got to know how to apply the medicine, you know. You got to know when to how to give a stat dose here and a stat dose there or enough to how to bottle, say, take as needed or take every 8 hours. And I had her on the roll, and I see she's over there gassing almost for air. So I say, ooh, you got to draw back. I'm going to open it up. You know, so it you gotta have wisdom and timing. And last night when you said that, you know, after you said that, it came to me, and I said, okay, timing is key. You wait to the end of the meeting. You know what I mean? You don't blurt it out. You know what I mean? You wait to the end. And you know, and it was just most of the stuff, what I say that's funny is situational. I don't have any line of jokes that I throw out. I don't. It's just situational. It's a situation that there's something there that you analyze. Can you say it? Would it be offensive? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to know. Mm-hmm. And so, because, like I say, the Bible says in Proverbs, a merry heart does it good like a medicine.
Yeah.
And the opposite is true, but a broken spirit dries the bone. And that's in Proverbs 17:22, audience. Proverbs 17:22. You know, it's laughter's like medicine. You ever had a laugh and you say, oh, I needed that. Like you say, you go online looking for, you know, and I've done that too, looking for something that's pretty decent that don't have, you know, it probably have a profanity here or there, but not abusive where every other word, I can't take it. I got to turn it. But not even because I'm saved, just because I never liked it, that language. That language is offensive to me. Too much of it, it's like, ooh, it vexed me. And so I've always been, you know, friends of people that had loose lips and had profanity as a first language. And I used to always say to them, you make people think that's all you got in your vocabulary because you use it so frequently. I say, you know, practice saying other stuff. You know, because when you speak, you have a tendency to either draw or withdraw people, you know. And so if you got the ear, make it count.
Yeah.
If you got, you know, the Bible says, you know, a bad company corrupts good manners or good character. So just, you know, and I used to, since I you know, I would give them advice. I just didn't withdraw. I would give them advice. But if it became so much where it was affecting me, I would withdraw. But for the most part, God gave me favor with my friends, and they were listening. I could see they were practicing. They would work on some of the stuff. And I say, every other word is, you know, just listen. I say, I'm going to record you one day. I'm going to play it back since you think it's just me. And so, you know, he just, you know, anyway, but, you know, it's a balance. You know, you said that too. It's a balance. That's necessary. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 says, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry, a time to be happy, a time to be sad, a time to, you know, grieve, and a time to, you know, all those things. It's a time King Solomon talks about. And I love Proverbs and Ecclesiastics and King David, his daddy. I love the, when I'm looking for something soothing or some wisdom, those where you find me in those three books, because I realize dealing with people, you know, you don't always run into people that got joy. There's people that got more, you know, worry and anxiety and anger than it is when you see people laughing, you know, and so it's a much needed medicine. It's a much needed gift. And so I tell God, help me, you know, when I come in a room that, you know, I don't leave a person the way I find them. You know, I want to live, if I don't give a joke, I want to at least inspire them or encourage them and lift them up. And it takes practice, because there's times you be around people, you just like, you know what, you know, I'm just sick and tired, or you ain't gonna never change, and you know. And God said, "Hey, you speaking those things? You gotta speak those things that you saying you want to see." And so it come back to, you know, Lord, it's me again. Teach me how to be, encouraged, inspired, and teach me to believe. You know what? Like you said, the faith. Have faith in what it is I'm praying for. I'm praying for them to be delivered. I'm praying for them to have a happy spirit. I'm praying for them to be joyous. I'm praying for them to have a relationship with their daughter and be able to sit out and let their hair down and not be so heavily minded that there ain't no earthly good. God says it's a balance. No, I ain't all day with the Lord, every talk of the day, every word that come out of my mouth. But I have to be conscious when I start engaging with people. Hey, would God be satisfied with your conversation? This conversation is going to the left. You need to draw back. Bad company corrupts good manners. Draw back. Hey, that like this one guy, he has a mouth that he's so perverted that I got to even watch every response I have, because everything you say, he ain't on the end of it to make a inappropriate joke. And I tell him, I say, you know, I'm going to have to talk to your girlfriend, because you just say anything out your mouth and won't act like she was here. You know, and you know, but so I know with him, you know, you got to really be like that, because every little thing you jump on, you know. But I don't treat him no kind of way.
I can hear you.
And so, anyway, so, you know, it's just good to be able to laugh, you know, because we could sit and find a whole lot to be sad about, especially still in this pandemic, and they're trying to ease it up, but the numbers are still, you know, concerning. And so it's just that I believe that I have the choice each day whether I'm going to be sad or I'm going to be happy, whether I'm going to be in peace, you know. And God says, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world give, but I give unto you. Saying, I don't care what's going on around your world, I got a peace that I could give you, that you can be at peace in the midst of a pandemic. You can be at peace in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a foreclosure, in the midst of being jobless. You can still be at peace. And so that's what I seek for, the peace. I seek for the peace and the laughter, the stuff that's going to get me going, to keep me going all day. Because, like I said, I can find a whole lot to be depressed about. I can find a whole lot to worry about. God is saying, who reports you going to believe? You know, what are you going to believe? Like, what the doctor say, whatever, I hear you, doctor. But, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Like you say, look at the look of that police car. It should have been a whole nother way, but God.
Yeah.
You know, he shows up when he needs to show up, and he ain't never late. He on time. We just don't see it sometimes. In little ways, God save us and deliver us and give us what we need. And like I say, I just love, you know, being able to let him use me in ways that I bring Mary joy to people, you know. And like I say, it ain't every day, but I get to situational, you know, when I can do it. Yeah, but anyway, I just love the way God works, and I love the opportunity that he gives me to just be me.
Yeah.
I go in the grocery store, I start talking to people. You know, I'm just, if I'm in line and the line long, and I just start talking to people. You'd be surprised how people would enjoy a conversation rather than standing there complaining about the lady at the front of the line, their card ain't working, or that money is funny. You know what I'm saying? So I find something to occupy my time while I'm waiting on the money to get right up front. You know what I mean? Or I'd be part of the solution.
Yeah.
Pay for the bill.
God is good, girl. God is good. But, you know, audience, you hear us talking about what Deborah said last night. I'm going to let you. Deborah, when you said that, I got this vision. And I'm telling you, well, audience, let me just tell you what it was. Sometimes I'm be driving the RV down, and I'm going to pick up some people, a couple of ladies, as we go down to work at the Work Release Center in Florida. And that's my daughter, like, well, how are you going to do that, you know, and you haven't had your shots and one thing to the other. She's coming up with this. I said, no, I'm going to wear my mask, and everybody else is going to have a mask, so they're going to have to sit back. And so Deborah, what did you say, Deborah?
I was just imagining. I know the RV, and I know how you be driving, and sometimes you might have somebody in the shotgun. They mean the passenger side. And so I'm imagining how many hours going to be from Carolina to Florida. I'm saying, well, maybe you can just put a hole in the mask to the left side and just blow out that occasionally. You know what I mean? Get you some. Just blow out the side of the mask. You got your windowless and window out. Because to have that mask on for however many hours, that's a long ride. But just put a little hole in it. Listen, I've seen a man smoking a cigarette. He had a hole in the mask. That's where it came from in my head. He had a hole right in the front of his mouth where he could put his cigarette in there. And so I've seen it all. And then I seen a guy that had a mask. He had a Velcro strip that he could take loose and he could drink. He could drink. He said he got it from Jamaica. Because I said, that is really of creative intelligence. Whoever thought of that? He said, I got these masks from Jamaica. So he was drinking whatever he was drinking, and he put the Velcro right across the part on the mask, so it was built in on the mask. So when you said that, I was thinking, you know, just put a little breather in it, you know, put it to the side, you know, because they get hot sometimes. The masks get hot, you know.
And they do. But you know, I got a solution for them. I'm gonna tell them you can ride, but if you ride up front, you got to wear your mask for a while, and I got to breathe, so that means you got to go to the back. That's it.
Right, there you go.
All right,
there you go. That's right.
There you go. Go to the back. Be like a bus driver. Get to the back. Get in your seat. All right.
That's right.
I'll be right back. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay, God bless. Thank you, audience.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Deborah, thank you so very much. Good show. Thank you, audience. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Have a blessed day. And remember to smile.
Bye.
Give somebody a smile. Have the joy. Bye-bye. Have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.